new Chilling Tales. This is how the end of the world begins. On the Riverdale / Greendale border, at the witching hour, that darkest hour. In the dead of the night. Creak! Bam, bam! Who in the name of the coven, knocking at this hour, is always an ill omen, a grim portend? Sabrina girl, don't open that door. Bam, bam! Oh, honestly, Auntie, there's a spell of protection around this house. Everything's fine? Juggy, it's a hot dog, Sabrina. A car hit him, and I need your help. Here, drink this tea. What's in it? Some potion? Plain old chamomile to calm you down. We're sorry, boy. We tried our healing magics, but your poor pup is gone. Requiescat in peace. No. Yes, he was already gone when you brought him to us. If he'd still been alive, something might have been done. Perhaps, sister, bones could have been mended, cells regenerated, blood coagulation reversed. Come here, boy. But once the breath of life has left the body, well, there are limits to even our powers. Krakoom! Couldn't you just, you know, bring him back? Blasphemy! You're talking necromancy, boy. The most dangerous magic. No, make your peace, say your goodbyes, and remember, sometimes dead is better. I'm so sorry, Jughead. I know how much you loved him. Yeah, as much as you love Salem, Sabrina. Meow, what did I miss? You're a good boy, hot dog. You're my best buddy. The Necronomicon, Brina, Hilda, and Zelda will slaughter you. Cover for me, Salem. It'll be 1692 all over again. Crack! I need to help a friend. Coom! Sabrina? Meet me outside by Hot Dog's doghouse and bring a shovel. Where are we going? The very edge of Riverdale. Swedlow Swamp, bordered by Carson's Creek. But for us tonight, it's the River Styx, the river between life and death. Almost. Deep enough. I can't help you dig, Juggy. Hot Dog's yours, he belongs to you. Each buries his own. So you bury him. I love you, you dumb, goofy dog. And I'll recite the incantation. Canda Estrada Mantus. Dracoom! Now what happens? You go home and wait. And Jughead, don't tell anyone what we did tonight. Salem? Sorry, Brina, I tried to cover. We could get into major trouble. But, aunties, wait, I can explain. I hate when they do that. No need, there are rules, niece. You disobeyed us and broke the covenant, which law demands swift punishment, a relinquishment of your powers, followed by immediate banishment. Poof! A year of silent reflection and atonement in the nether realm, away from the mortal world, under constant supervision, should do it. Please, Auntie, you saw Jughead. I needed to... No more talking. You must learn consequences, Sabrina. I know a year sounds like an awfully long time, Little Miss Raised the Dead, but in truth, you won't miss anything. The next morning, Riverdale High, less than 12 hours to first contagion. This is really important, Archie. Vis-a-vis the Halloween dance, do you want me to dress as sexy witch or sexy gypsy? There's a major difference. Man, Archie sure has changed since I was a young boy. Either? Both sound cool. Yes, but if I'm a sexy witch, I wear a pointy hat. If I'm a sexy gypsy, I wear... basically what you wear every day? Did Hades just freeze over? Since when does America's sweetheart Betty Cooper crack semi-risque jokes? Since she caught her best friend stabbing her in the back. We flipped for him, Veronica. Archie and I are going to the Halloween dance together. Which Hitchcock blonde do you want to be, Archie? Janet Leigh from Psycho or Trippi Hedren from The Birds? Tippy, rather, Hedren. No offense, Betty dear, but I doubt you could pull off either. All I'd need, however, is a bottle of peroxide. Oh, I also have a sexy French maid costume, Archiekins, though does anyone want to see moi dressed as a member of the serving class? P-class, 10 hours to contagion. Reggie, dude, you gotta help me. Veronica wants me to dress up as a sexy something for Halloween, which is awesome, and Betty wants to dress as... Actually, I have no clue what she was talking about, but I obviously can't take both to the dance, so I was thinking... Reggie, what's up? You okay? Yeah, Arch, it was just a super rough night. Scrub, scrub, scrub. Yeah, that crazy storm kept me up, too. You haven't talked to Jughead, have you? Not today. I texted him a few times last night because there was a new Man vs. Food on the Travel Channel. Why? Did something happen? Screeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeee Yeah, stayed home. Got a stomach thing. I beg to differ, Chuck. Freddy Krueger would destroy Michael Myers, obviously. No, Dilton, he wouldn't, since Myers never sleeps and therefore never dreams, making him invulnerable to Freddy's attacks. You're missing nothing. Feel better. Text me later. Will do. Any sign of him, sweetie? Not yet, Mom. Thanks again for letting me stay home to wait for him. Oh, honey, of course. But I don't want you worrying. That dog of yours is always running off, and somehow, he always finds his way back. That night... Hot dog? Boy? Is that you? Hot dog, it's me, Jughead. What's wrong, boy? Wait, you... Oh, Lord. Chomp! Hot dog? The next day, 8 hours after first contagion. Hot dog. He won't come out of his room and he hasn't eaten in hours. His dad and I are worried sick. It's cool, Mrs. Jones. I'll talk to him. Make sure he's... Good grief, Jug. You look awful. Thanks, pal. I appreciate that. What is it? The flu? Yeah, the super flu. Don't get too close. Should I call Doc Walker? What I've got, Arch. No doctor's gonna help me. It just bites that you're gonna miss the dance. Big Ethel's gonna be devastated. She'll live. Hey, by the way, is Hot Dog sick too? What do you mean? Nothing. Just usually when I visit, he's jumping all over me, slobbering, but today, coming up on the walk. I heard him under the porch, but he didn't come out to say hi, not even when I... Leave him alone, Archie! No matter what, don't mess with him! And make sure my mom and dad leave him alone, too. I'll coax him out later, okay? Sure, bud. Whatever you want. Time to go. Hey, man. Even though Betty and Veronica would slaughter me, what if I skip the dance, come back here, we order some pies from Vito's, and watch the Creature Feature Marathon on AMC? Like old times. You're a friend to the end, Arch. The gym. But nah, go to the dance. Have the time of your life. Say hi to everyone for me. Even Big Ethel. Tell her she's awesome. And I'll see you later, hopefully. Well, well, well. Look who decided to grace us with his presence. Honey, why are you up? Did you decide to go to the dance after all? Meanwhile, nice costume, Archiekins. Oh, well, it looks like she's kind of dressed like Vampirella. Are you padded? Veronica, you're crazy. What happened to Sexy Witch? Nothing happened. Veronica simply decided to embrace her inner bloodsucker. But don't worry, Archie Poo. Nurse Betty will give you a transfusion. Boy, they certainly have changed since I was a young man. Nurse Betty? Or Florence Nightingale? For a creature that's supposed to be ageless, Vampironica, you're looking incredibly ancient. Okay, if you're going to start this jam again, I'm going to take a punch break. Check in with my bros. Reg, Dream Warriors and New Nightmare are the only sequels you can take seriously. The rest are, well, we, well, garbage is too strong a word, but I hear you. In terms of Halloween, I think you've got Halloween and Halloween 2, which are basically one movie, I agree, and then H2O. On a crisp, cool autumn night like tonight, outside the gym, chaperones on a break. What wouldn't you give to be these kids again? Excuse me. What wouldn't you give to be these kids' age again, Geraldine? Nothing, Waldo. I'm relishing my golden years, thank you very much. Come now, remember that one Halloween? We snuck into Cypress Cemetery, just the two of us. You were so, so frightened. They're coming to get you, Geraldine! Stow it, you jerk! They're coming to get you, Geraldine! Look, there's one now! Stop it, Waldo, I am not amused. Tee-hee! Why, Miss Grundy, you're still afraid, and you're as ignorant about women now as you were 40 years ago. Hee-hee! All right, settle down, my dear. There's nothing to be scared of. It's merely one of the perennial thorns in my side. Good evening, Mr. Jones. Enjoying the night air? Waldo! Seriously, Rich, what's your problem? What do you mean, Arch? For starters, why aren't you in costume? Because I'm hoping to make a love connection tonight, and I don't want to look like an idiot. Satisfied? Not really. You're a frat boy, Reggie. It's in your DNA to dress up like an idiot on a semi-regular basis. Fine. I didn't have it in me. I wasn't even going to come out tonight, but I was just going crazy being at home. Okay, now I know something's wrong. Halloween's your favorite night of the year, Reg, because you get to trash mailboxes, steal candy from little kids. What gives? We're buds. You can tell me. I did something, Arch. Something terrible. You're Reggie Mantle. You're always doing something terrible. No, I mean like fully next level terrible. I was at Pops with Midge. It was completely innocent. But there was this whole thing with Moose. Anyway, I was pretty messed up when I was driving home and street! I was cresting the hill near Jughead's house when Jughead! Hey everyone, Jughead's here! And holy spit, that costume's amazing! 10:15 p.m. Riverdale. Full contagion imminent. To be continued. Afterthoughts with Archie. What scared you as a child? Does it still scare you? Being home alone. I remember once when I was 10 years old, I got the chicken pox and had to stay home from school alone. The house was so quiet and lonely, it completely freaked me out. Nowadays, I crave that silence, but it still freaks me out a little. Profondo Rosso by Dario Argento. And yes, that movie still scares the heck out of me. I haven't seen that one. Would have checked it out on the Internet Archive, but apparently that's been DDoSed, and we're not going to go any further than that, but it's a shame. What would you consider to be your favorite horror movie? Let's do top six. The Exorcist, Rosemary's Baby, The Shining, Halloween, The Evil Dead, and Creepshow. There's more, but I'll hold the line there for now. The whole Universal horror classics, pretty much. Any of those are some of my favorite horror movies ever. What is your favorite monster? Monster-wise, The Bride of Frankenstein, or The Creature from the Black Lagoon, rather. No secrets here. Frankenstein all the way. Who was your biggest influence in the horror genre? Stephen King, no question. John Carpenter's up there too. Lovecraft, Barker. Definitely the classic black and white horror movies from Universal and the gothic sensibilities and the bloody reds from the Hammer movies. Before starting the Afterlife Project, what expectations did you have about the series? Have they been met? Exceeded. I thought when we were given the go-ahead by John Goldwater that this project, because of its subject matter and content, might be treated as Archie's ugly stepbrother growing up in some dark, forgotten corner of the Archieverse. It's been the exact opposite, in fact. Archie's thrown every resource that they have at Afterlife, and that support's made a huge difference. I knew going in this was going to be good. It was one of the reasons I wanted in. But yeah, expectations have been met and surpassed. You'll see. Before working on Afterlife, who would you consider to be your favorite Archie Universe character? Betty and Veronica. Ty. Sabrina, with her being a witch, cute and all. Now that you've spent some time in a zombified Riverdale, who's your favorite character? Betty and Veronica, same. Well, I am drawing him a lot, so I guess it's Jughead. Oops, I mean Jughead. Which Archie Universe character would you like to see zombified? At this point, I'm doing my best to keep them all from being zombified. Pretty sure we're going to cover them all by the time we're done with this. What makes the zombies in Afterlife different than other zombies? Excuse me, than zombies used in other works? There's a difference. Two big differences, in fact, but they won't be revealed until later. Sorry, no spoilers here. I think that the fact that these are people you know and love, so seeing them turn into zombies will hit you more than just seeing a bunch of generic zombies coming out of the coffins and roaming around your town. I really believe this will be a huge difference that'll set the zombie book apart. Which Archie Universe characters would you like to have with you in the zombie apocalypse, and which role would they play? Tough question. Moose, I guess. He's the closest thing Archie has to Incredible Hulk. It's true. And if the zombies got him, I could run away while they ate him. Wait, are you saying zombie apocalypse is actually going to happen? Runs to hide. Alright, here we go. Afterlife with Archie 2. This is how the end of the world begins. It's interesting how they just slapped all the comics together in one little volume like that. You don't usually see that. Number 2. Afterlife with Archie. Escape from Riverdale. Chapter 2. Dance of the Dead. I didn't like Jughead when he was alive. Now that he's dead, well, the less said, the better. Prologue. Outside Riverdale High. Jason and Cheryl Blossom. Can't believe we're crashing a townie dance. What would our compatriots at Pembroke say? We're not crashing, we're infiltrating with a very specific agenda, or have you forgotten? Destroy Betty, destroy Veronica, create chaos, create mayhem. Ugh, you see? Already I'm bored. Don't forget, claim Archie as my prize. If you're trying to make me jealous, Cheryl, bad idea. Settle down, Jace. Think of me as a cat, and Archie Andrews as a ball of orange yarn. A plaything, a passing fancy at best, a friend. Whereas you, brother dear, you are my family, and therefore forever. Oh, well, I mean, I don't know if they're in Alabama or not. So turn that frown upside down, and let's wreak some havoc, okay? For you, sis, any... Don't go in there! How dare you speak to us, pleb? Why shouldn't we? Terrible music? Non-alcoholic punch? Something weird's going on in there. They're, like, eating people. Seriously, this janitor bit me for no, like, reason. I gotta go. I gotta get home. Well, at least now I'm interested. Shall we proceed? Cher? Kava? I'm just thinking, Jason. I'm suddenly feeling quite angsty about this plan of yours. Of mine? Oh, no. Fine, it was mine, but I changed my mind. Let's just go home and watch Bravo, all right? End prologue. The Lodge Mansion, 12:30 in the morning. It was horrible, Daddy. We were all at the dance having the loveliest time. You are the most horrific BFF in the history of BFFs, Veronica. You have everything, yet you always want more. When will it be enough? When will it end? Never, Betty. I'm a lodge, which means it's my nature to be voracious and eternal. Hey, everyone, Jughead's here. And holy spit, his costume's amazing. I barely gave it a second thought. Earlier, someone tweeted something about Jughead being sick, but what did I care if he turned up? Ethel Muggs, on the other hand, was thrilled. Juggy, you made it! I wasn't friends with Ethel. When we passed each other in the hall, we'd nod. That's it. Still, I wouldn't wish what happened to her on my worst enemy. You look incredible, baby. What kind of makeup is that? Not even on Jughead Jones himself. That's when he did it, Daddy. That's when Jughead bit Ethel. It didn't seem real at first. It was like a scene from some asinine horror movie. I think that's why people started laughing. What's your problem, Veronica? What, you wet blanket? It's funny. It's sick, you hag. It's a sick joke, and anyone who thinks otherwise... Well, I hope they get what they deserve. Every year since we were little girls, Ethel's invited me to these ridiculous birthday parties she throws for herself. Just once, I wish you'd made me go, Daddy. Of course, it would be my fault somehow. I'd feel less guilty about those 30 seconds. Those terrible 30 seconds when Jughead Jones ate Ethel Muggs right in front of us and no one did anything but stare. Interlude. Excellent question, Pop. Probably because our date's canceled at the last minute. Wow, really, Nancy? Yeah, Pop, our two football stud dates blew us off, so, I mean, what's a girl to do, right? And you couldn't find anyone else to take you? Or just go yourselves? Go ourselves? What a novel idea. Wish I'd thought of that. Don't, Ginger. So I was thinking, maybe tomorrow morning we can get up early and... No. I'm not sleeping over, Nancy. Sorry, but I can't keep doing this. This meaning... Lower your voice, will you? Meaning what exactly? Pretending we're just friends, sneaking around on the DL, waiting for the next time your parents go out of town so we can have a quote-unquote innocent sleepover. We're having burgers at Pop's, Ginger. That hardly qualifies as sneaking. You know what I mean. I'm done playing Brokeback Riverdale with you. Me mommy and Poppy raised me to be proud of who I am, Nancy. A smart, sassy Latina with fierce highlights. This not what we're doing, but how we're doing it makes me feel ashamed. If Kevin can be honest about himself, so can we. Are you seriously comparing us to Kevin? Look in the mirror, Ginger. We're nothing like him, on any level. I can't help it. I'm scared, okay? Jingle jangle? Of what? What are you scared of? Mr. Jones? An interlude. My blood ran cold, Daddy. It was like Jughead wasn't even Jughead anymore. More like he was this animal. Then he looked up at me and stared right at me. And as crazy as it sounds, Daddy, I swear, on some deep reptilian level, the thing that was once Jughead Jones recognized me and remembered we hated each other. And started running towards me faster than I'd ever seen Jughead move while he was alive. I was paralyzed. My first thought was, wow, so this is how I die. At a dance, eaten by my arch-nemesis Jughead. How pathetic. My second thought was not to mention Betty's finally going to have Archie all to herself. She would think that. Speaking of Archie, yes, I wondered when it would be revealed that this was all somehow that red-headed dolt's doing. I know you hate him, Daddy. I know you don't think he's husband material. But if not for Archie, I'd be dead right now. Back off, Jughead, now! Dude, what are you doing? Slam! Reggie, a little help here? I got your back, Arch. Thanks, Moose. Let's get Juggy out of here. Where to? The locker room. I'll clear a path. You okay? I think so. You guys, I think Ethel's like really, really hurt. Of course, holier than thou, Betty leapt into action. You know, any opportunity for that do-gooder to show the rest of us how incompetent we are in a crisis. Everyone, out of my way! Someone call 911 and have them send an ambulance. Veronica, find a chaperone and bring me a first aid kit, will you? Ethel, hang in there. We're getting you some help. You're gonna be... Ethel, you're okay? That's great. That's such a relief. But why are you looking at me like that? Like you're about to... Out of the way, Betty. Foosh! Ka-chunk! Veronica, don't thank me, Betty. Thank you. Oh, as if. For what? I had everything under... Excuse me, she says, for what? I had everything under control. And then she says, oh, as if. Heads up, gang. Ethel Muggs. Nowhere near dead. Dilton, you don't think? Oh, without a doubt, Chuck. It was at that moment, I believe, when the twice-killed Ethel Muggs reanimated a second time, that everyone lost their minds. Kids screaming, kids running. Good Lord, Veronica. And not just because of Ethel, Daddy. But also because that's when Principal Weatherby and Miss Grundy showed up at the gym's main doors looking like death warmed over. Run! Run! No, no! We need to go, all of us, right now! Link hands and let's get out of Dodge! Archie, Chuck, We can't leave without Archie. Bang, bang. Bang, bang. What? What the hell's wrong with him? He's so pumped up, we barely got him in there. Maybe he's juicing with, like, bad juice or something? Moose, that's the stupidest. Bang, bang, bang. I know what it is. When I went to visit Jughead earlier today because he was sick, Hot Dog was too, sick as a, well, dog. Bang, what are you talking about? Hot Dog was alive. That can't be. That's impossible. Reggie, I heard him under the porch. He was like suffering, and Juggy warned me to stay away from him. Bang, how come? Bang, bang. Well, given what's going on with Jughead, I think it's because he had rabies. I think Hot Dog has rabies and bit Jughead and gave him rabies, and that's what we're dealing with. It's not rabies. It's a zombie apocalypse. Jughead, Ethel, Weatherby, Miss Grundy, they're all infected and eating people. Don't ask questions. Just accept it. Bang, bang! So Jughead, so he's... Yes, it's too late for him. Archie and the others, and I'm sorry for that, truly, but we can't stay here. For once, Veronica's right. We need to get somewhere safe where we can regroup, figure everything out. That's good. Good thinking. We just don't know where that safe place is yet. Bang, bang! I may have an idea. We slipped out a side door then, and ran down Thrill Hill into Old Fox Forest. Behind us, we heard screams coming from the gym, wafting along the night wind. Archie wanted to go back. I could see it in his eyes, to help, to do something, anything. But I think for me, or maybe it was for Betty, or maybe it was for both of our safety, he didn't. He kept our group pushing forward, kept us running. Stay together, everyone. We gotta get through these woods. By now, you've probably figured out why I'm telling you all this, Daddy. I'm getting an inkling. Oh, Veronica, what have you done? You need to come with me into the main hall, Daddy, and please... don't lose your temper. Sorry to disturb you, sir, but Mr. Lodge, I've been trying to sneak into your daughter's room for as long as I can remember, and I know what a fortress this place is. If humanity is going to be making its last stand in Riverdale, it's got to be here, at Lodge Manor. Next, one of these kids is already infected. But which one? Kind of neat. The Caribbean tropical islands, the verdant crowned peaks of a sunken continent, crystal clear blue waters once roamed by pirate bands, lush jungles, diamond white beaches, and dark skinned people with a culture that encompasses the jet age, and voodoo, sophistication, and superstition. To this promise laden paradise, this playground of the rich, comes cat burglar Alden Brooks in search of a change of luck, a new lease on life, and here he is certain to find it. A prison stretch has diluted his self-esteem, formerly successful and supremely confident of his prowess as a cat. Brooks' 3-year stretch has left him determined to find one big score and to reestablish his faith in his ability to penetrate any security, to creep and climb through any defense like his animal namesake, his totem, to become once again, finally, a cat. While the sun burns out the memory of the past 3 years and his prison pallor, Brooks sizes up various prospects at the island resort. Then one night he finds his mark at the casino. Beautiful. The diamonds and the girl. Apparently wealthy and respected by the deference shown him, I wonder. Her father, or lover, or her uncle, sir, Señor Artelan, and his niece Consuelo. Señor Artelan is reported to have one of the finest jewel collections in the world. Brooks makes his move when Señor Artelan is called away to the phone. Would you care to dance, señorita? No, oh, very well. Alden, baby, your fatal charm seems to be having little effect. She's remote, distracted, edgy about something, almost as if, what, she were drugged. Around her wrist is a diamond bracelet, which he unclasps as they dance without her notice. This piece alone would keep me in style for some time, but I'm going to play for higher stakes. As the dance ends, he pretends to find it underfoot where it must have dropped. Your bracelet, señorita. How fortunate that I found it before anyone else. A terrible temptation to put before one not completely honest, no? Oh, thank you. Strange, she seems almost indifferent, as if a $100,000 bauble wasn't worth her concern. Another dance, senorita? No. She's obviously anxious to return to the table before her uncle. Too late now. Is she frightened of him? Nervously, Consuelo introduces them. Adelon is curt until the bracelet incident is mentioned, whereupon he becomes gracious and invites him to my castle for dinner tomorrow evening to more adequately express our gratitude regarding the bracelet. One rarely encounters your kind of honesty in these cynical times, senor. You embarrass me, sir, but I accept your kind invitation with the greatest of pleasure. Brooke's hands itch at the chance of becoming a cat again, and Adelon enhances the prospect by confirming his highest hopes. You like precious stones, senor. I can show you an accumulation of ornamentation and finery from the past that has no peer outside of some museum collections. It is a passion with me. Of course, my most precious gem is Consuelo, my dear? I'll be looking forward to it, sir. Until tomorrow evening, then. My God, what luck! Discreet inquiries about Senor Adelon's wealth indicate Brooke's instincts were right. His elation is tempered somewhat by a feeling of something not quite right. There is something indefinably sinister about Senor Adelon and his niece. Brooke's head fairly swims that evening after a sumptuous meal served in exquisite surroundings, after which, with a fine brandy and Havana cigars, Adelon dazzles his eyes with treasures of the ages. The score will set me up for life. Later, on the balcony. You seem much more relaxed this evening than last night, Consuelo. My uncle is, shall we say, very protective of me. Much more so, in some ways, than he is about his treasures. I would say that the opposite is true where you are concerned. What makes you say that? I know what brings you here, Alden Brooks. I guessed it last night when you removed my bracelet and then pretended to find it. What would you say if I offered you my aid in your plan and myself in the bargain? You're a cool one. Okay, baby, you've got a deal. What's the matter, being a fairy princess in a gilded castle cramp your style? My uncle is quite mad, Alden. He believes himself a sorcerer and alchemist. He devotes himself to the research and study of ancient rites, utilizing gems as talismans. The ancients believe certain precious stones possess magical properties, and he has scoured the world, acquiring by whatever means necessary the stones mentioned in his ancient tomes and parchments. He holds me in thrall by means of a powerful spell. He is also aware of your designs on his treasures, and is enjoying a little game of cat and mouse. He has a powerful guardian that would prevent even you from getting the gems unless you had my help. Okay, what's the catch? You mean my price? You are very astute, my friend. Yes, there's one thing you must agree to before I will aid you. Take whatever you wish, but there's one article I must have. The most valuable prize of all. He wears it about his neck at all times, and he sleeps in the castle tower, which is guarded from all access except from the outside. An impossible ascension for anyone except a cat, such as yourself. It is a diamond pendant, or medallion of Bas, the cat god of ancient Egypt, carved from a single brilliant gem. How soon do we start? My gear is stashed in my car. Top of the tower, too high for a hand cast with my grappling hook, but not out of range for the CO2 launcher. Got it. Wonder if Adeline's guardians, Consuelo, referred to are man, beast, or figments of her imagination. Weird chick. Don't like to use a gun ordinarily, but for this job I feel better packing a .38. The drug she put in his nightcap should keep him on ice for 8 or 9 hours. Time enough for me to get out of the country with the stuff and without a dizzy broad who thinks our uncle put a spell on her. Dark clouds scud across the face of a baleful moon. The only witness to a lithe black-clad figure scaling the face of the castle tower. Although prepared for the bizarre, Brooks is taken aback at the sight which greets his eyes when he climbs through the tower's single window. My God, Consuelo wasn't kidding. It is an alchemist's chamber. Looks like a movie set. Here it is. Beautiful and beyond price. Almost makes me think of becoming a collector myself, but I prefer cold, hard cash. So the cat is caught with the cream, or is it egg on his face? Adelon, you're supposed to be asleep. Then, before Brooke's unbelieving eyes, Adelon goes through an amazing metamorphosis to become a cobra. Good God! Your gun is useless, but do not worry. As soon as you remove the talisman from him, his protective spell against me was broken. Now, uncle, I can deal with you thusly. Consuelo! Brooke's mind reels from the next shock as Consuelo gestures and changes into a mongoose, Tacroba's traditional adversary and nemesis of all snakes. Faster than the eye can follow, the two faint, lunge and strike, and in a twinkling it is over, the outcome of victory for the mongoose. Regaining her true form, its power over me is ended. I'm free, and for that I owe you something, mortal. I know your plans did not include me once I helped you get what you wanted, but still I am in your debt, so I would give you that which I divined was your greatest desire. Now you shall have your reward as befits your nature, the nature of a cat. Therefore shall you always be down through eternity, my immortal familiar, a cat. End. Ooh. Well, seems like he didn't have those cat-like reflexes after all. Afterlife with Archie, number 3. Escape from Riverdale, chapter 3, Sleepover. Oh, it says, my mom and dad are out there. Betty somewhere, maybe hurt. I have to find them. Lodge Manor. I built this house, and I don't mean I paid someone to build it. I mean I designed and built it myself, with my own two hands, by God. I came to Riverdale first, alone, to see if it would even be possible to relocate Lodge Industries. Found the tallest hill there was, overlooking everything there else. Found the tallest hill there was, overlooking everything else. Yes. Then sent for Hermione. It's lovely, Hiram, but there's no opera, no ballet, no theater. All a mere train ride away. Yes, but what will I do here? Play tennis with the other ladies, who lunch, join a book club, start a charitable foundation. Yep, that's what rich people do. Well, I'll start a charitable foundation. How about that? Gotta do something with the money, right? I could, you know, or open a museum with the art we've collected. My love, if you do this for me, I promise I'll build the most magnificent manor for you and our son. Daughter, what's this now? Oh yes, I just found out on the train. I was sitting across from the most eccentric spinsters, I suppose you'd call them. You're expecting a girl. Naturally, since I haven't started the show, I was taken aback. I am, but my husband and I are hoping for a boy. Not true. He is. But you're having a girl, you can tell, plain as day. Raven-haired, strong-willed. Well, we shall see. Our sister-in-law is expecting a girl, too. We're on our way to see her. Greendale. She doesn't believe us either. White-haired. That one will be. You'll forgive me if I continue to hold out hope for a boy. Either way, Hiram, Riverdale will make a wonderful home for us, I'm certain. You were my life, Hermione, my rock. Selfishly, I wish you and your level head were here now to help guide us through the ordeal. But I suppose, with this madness that's happening beyond our gates, it's best you aren't alive to... What? My love! Hermione? No! God, no! You never should have brought us to this place! This place of death! My apologies, sir, but you told me to wake you. Quite all right, Smithers. I was merely resting my eyes. Was there an update? I've just finished a sweep of the perimeter. Every point of egress and ingress is intact and secure. Additionally, I've turned on all the security cameras and activated the alarms. Operation Lockdown proceeds apace. Good. Well done. And the rest of the town? Riverdale Water and Power is reporting massive outages. All local news broadcasts have been replaced with alerts from the EBS, asking residents within town limits to stay indoors. Fires on the west side, looting in the southwest quadrant. So far, no lodge properties have been damaged. Good Lord, how did it fall apart so quickly? And beyond Riverdale? Sporadic reporting, mostly rumors and speculation relayed through social media, twittering and the like, though that is decreasing with each passing hour. Most significantly, sir, Lodge satellite intercepted a transmission sent from the White House to the National Guard. The words quarantine and extermination were uttered in connection to something being described as that situation in Riverdale. I know the President Smithers. He's a friend. He won't do anything foolish. In the meantime, we wait this out. I built this place to be a fortress. So long as we keep the rest of the world at bay, we'll be fine. And this, whatever this is, will sort itself out. Of course, sir. One last thing, are all the children safe and accounted for? Yes, sir. Well, that is, except for one. Andrews. Earlier, Lodge Manor's East Kitchen. Can't believe that grate isn't electrified or something. It used to be. I had Dilton hack into the Lodge mainframe and take it offline a year ago. This pantry is the security system's one blind spot. A year ago? For your secret tryst with Veronica? Yeah, exactly. We'd sit here making out and eating the world's most expensive cereal. Come on, Betts. Are we really going to have this conversation now? Fine, let's have the worst safe in here. It's insane for you to go out conversation instead. Seriously, Archie, it's a terrible idea. Betty, cell phones aren't working. Landlines aren't working. We've all emailed our parents. No one's responded. Someone needs to check on them. Aren't you worried about your mom and dad? Of course, but if there's a tornado, you wait for the tornado to pass before you go outside. I'll be okay. I'll get as far as I can through the sewers and stick to side streets and alleyways. No one knows Riverdale better than me. Archie, wait before you go. I won't ask which of us you like more. Betty, I promise you, I'm going to be waffling for the next 70 years. Don't worry, and stay safe, okay? You too, Archie. Come back to us in one piece. Now, Lodge Manor's library. This is unbelievable. Betty, there you are. Veronica, your dad's books? They're all first editions. You have a mint copy of The Great Gatsby from, like, 1925 here. What would you have us read, Betty? Paperbacks? The Great Gatsby is is Daddy's favorite book. My mom gave him that copy their last Christmas together. I miss your mom. Me too. Thanks, Betty. So, what's with the swimwear? I'm heading to the pool where the party and frolicking has already begun. Is that really appropriate, given the... Just because we're trapped here doesn't mean we have to suffer and be bored. I mean, yes, we're worried, but what better way to distract ourselves than with an end-of-the-world pool party? I'm not sure. I think I'm just gonna read. Boring. Gatsby dies. That's all you need to know. It's too cold to swim. Pool's heated, obvi. I don't even have a suit, and you're too big for one of mine, I understand. Never fear, Betty. I keep an assortment of plus sizes on hand for just such an emergency. Veronica, you're not hearing me. You're not hearing me, Betty. I'm barely holding it together. I need to focus on something other than how terrified I am. Please. We're supposed to be BFFs. Soon. See? Isn't this fab? The water does feel great. But where are Moose and Midge? Earlier. I'm freaking out, babe. I think we should tell Mr. Lodge. His butler was a doctor during the war or something. Maybe he can check you out. I don't mean check you out, at least not that way. It's just a scratch, Moose. I didn't even notice it happening. Yeah, but if it was Jughead or Ethel that scratched you, I have no idea how I got it. It could have been anyone. Yeah, but if it was one of them, Dilton said you can catch it like poison ivy. No, Moose, he said the exact opposite, that it wasn't like poison ivy, that you could only catch it being bitten or scratched. Come on, where's the hydrogen peroxide? Found it. Hold on a sec. I think we're kind of saying the same thing, so just to be on the safe side. Moments later. Okay, you can relax now. Any infection in that hydrogen peroxide I just doused myself with would have killed it. Look at my hand, see? It's already feeling better. And you saw Ethel. You saw how fast she changed. Yeah, but Jughead ate, like, half of her. Maybe since you only got a scratch, it's taken longer to... Moose, baby, you probably gave me the scratch when you grabbed my hand to drag me out of the gym. I'm fine, really. You sure? 100%. Okay. So can we go swimming with everyone? Sure, in a minute. Right now, though, I just want to be alone with you, you big dumb lug. I love you, Moose. You know that, right? Yeah, pretty much. And, I love you, Midge, but... How come you're telling me... Excuse me. How come you're telling me now? No time like the present, right? Downtown Riverdale, the present. Holy crap. Pops! What the hell happened here? Did we have to? Earlier. Sorry, guys. Earlier. Did we have to? Only way to make sure Mr. Jones and Pop Tate won't be coming back. That's what they would have wanted, Nancy. That was awful, Ginge. Literally the worst. Beyond, but we survived. Aren't you glad I made you take all those military self-defense classes with Kevin's dad for extra credit? Yes, Ginger. And no bites or scratches anywhere on us, we checked, so... So what now? We hotwire Pop's motorcycle. Hop it, start going west, and don't stop till we hit the ocean. Ginger! That thing was Jughead's dad. We live 3 doors down from the Joneses. And me mommy and poppy live 2 blocks away on Fern. Can we check on our folks first? Can we still hotwire Pop's motorcycle? Va-va-vroom! See? Isn't this fab? Now, the water does feel great. But where are Midge and Moose? Oh, being total party poopers, hiding up in their room where they've been all night, no doubt. Oh wait, I think that's them coming out onto the veranda. Crash! Splash! Okay, this is super creepy and weird. First, I call the fire department because Pops is burning down and get a busy signal nonstop. Now I'm walking home and there's, like, nobody anywhere. I mean, whose bike is this and why did they just... Hang up, there's... Mayor Martinez? Mayor Martinez, it's... Archie! Screw exploring, I gotta get home! Sir? Something worrisome is happening at the West Pool. Zoom in camera 5, Smithers. I shudder to think what mischief my daughter's up to now. Midge? Moose? No, please, no, not again! Listen to me, this is Hiram Lodge. For God's sake, get out of the water right now! Repeat, out of the water. Daddy? Seal the pool, Smithers! Already activating its covers, sir. Move! Everyone! Oh my God! You're good, Ronnie, I got you. But won't they drown? Possibly. Bang, 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 bang! But doubtful. They're not human, remember? They don't need what we need. Things like, you know, oxygen. Per your specifications, the pool's cover is reinforced aluminum, sir, so it should hold. However, Veronica Lodge, I want you back inside the house immediately, young lady. That goes for all of you. Inside, now! I'll start a fire and make sure they get into dry clothes, sir. Then begin dinner. Coca-Vine, all right? 2 more of them lost, Smithers, on my watch. What will I tell their mothers and fathers? That I took them in? That they were under my care and I couldn't protect them? Home. Finally. Locked? Mom? Dad? Extra key under the... Vegas, is that you? Come here, boy. Help me find the... Oh, crap! Afterwards with Archie. Here we go. Okay, we'll read this and then we'll be done. Fog wisps around weather-eroded gravestones as the figure advances, his majestic black cloak billowing in the evening breeze. No! A vampire! And as the fang demon attacks. Okay, Hank, get ready on the camera down there. Horror Pilate host. Huh. It's 10:30 on a Saturday night, and if you aren't spending your time on better things like a hot date or hanging out at the bowling alley, you might be home watching creeper features introduced by a cornball host like Sedgwick. What's that you say, Mr. Bones? You're gonna join a band and learn to play the trombone? Yeek! Another joke like that and it's back to the closet for you. Now back to our creeper for the night. Okay, Sedgwick, cut! We're into the commercial. With 15 minutes before Sedgwick interrupts the movie again, the director hurries out of the control booth. Sedgwick's really bad news, Sam. No wonder the ratings on his show are lower than a flattened-out worm. You're telling me, Hank. What Sedgwick needs is a good writer, but no one in the business will work with him. Take a look over there and you'll know why. Who's responsible for these cheap-looking props? Look at this. Wouldn't fool a moron. Where's that fucking prop man? Over here, Mr. Sedgwick, sir. You, I've warned you in the past to get me some decent props, and what did you come up with? Garbage. Get out of my sight, you. You're fired. But Mr. Sedgwick, I've got a good notion to have you melted down and use your skeleton to make up for the one that just got broken. Sedgwick just never lets up. That poor prop man doesn't have a chance. Look at him shake. Look, if you can't cut the ice in this business, try some other kind of work. Now, are you going to get out of the studio or do I have to throw you out? I'm going, Mr. Sedgwick, sir. And now Sedgwick's fired his third prop man this month. 10-1, he'll get the wretch blacklisted. Yeah, ever since he made it big in the movies, he's been pushing decent people around like that writer he fired years ago. The little fellow with the thick glasses? What was his name? Speak of the devil. For standing amid the shadows is a small, ineffectual-looking man who observes Sedgwick's actions through thick lens glasses. Mr. Sedgwick, remember me? Excuse me, Mr. Sedgwick, might I have a moment of your time? Who are you and what do you want? We do this show live, so I'll be on camera again soon. You got something to say? Spill it fast. Do you remember me? I'm Simpson, the first writer on this show. You fired me 5 years ago. Don't you recall how I couldn't pay for my wife's medicine and how she died? And look, Mr. Simpleton, or whatever your name is, I don't have time for hard luck stories. Oh, but I'm not wasting your time. Here, read the marked page of this prop book I had made just for you. If you like, maybe I'll get my old job back. Hey, this is what I call an authentic-looking prop. Okay, why not? I'll try it on the next station break. Really, Sedgwick? Ready on the set. Okay, count down. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Hi there again, kiddies. Your leering leader Sedgwick is back. Back to our Skelevision movie in just a morbid minute. Creeps first, a grim scary tale from this ancient tome I borrowed from the library. Simpson watches from the shadows and a sinister smile creeps across his seemingly innocent face as the horror host opens the Necronomicon, but I guess they're just doing something else, to the marked page. Huh? What weird words, but we're live, so I'm stuck with this. Karud Gard Roger Roteps. Hey! What's that smoke? I didn't know the special effects man was in on this. Eyes bulging, Sedgwick watches as the ethereal wisp of vapor cavort in the air, twisting into bizarre shapes. Good God, this can't be the results of a fog machine. Lips trembling, Sedgwick ceases reading from the yellowed pages of the ancient volume, for there is no need to read further. Good Lord, this book isn't a prop, it's the real thing. So Simpson, where are you? Ah! Simpson! Ugh. Man, if that stunt doesn't push creeper features up in the charts, I'll eat my script. That was the single greatest special effect I've seen, and I don't have the foggiest idea how he did it. And as the smoke finally clears, where did Sedgwick go? I don't see him leave. Excuse me. Where did Sedgwick go? I didn't see him leave, and... Yeah! Somehow I have a feeling we'll be needing a new host on the show. Quick, somebody cut back to the movie. That night's surprise sent creeper features to the top of the ratings. Unfortunately, Sedgwick missed his new success. Seems his career had gone up in smoke. All right. So here we go. We have lockdown. This is how the end of the world begins. All right, here we go. Number 4. All right. Chapter 4, Archibald Rex. We'll get to that Saturday, guys. Or I'll have it for you. No, I usually do them on Sundays. So Sunday night, about Monday, we'll have the second part. So that's how we're going to do it. That way we can give you both parts of the comic. Because there won't be any Power Rangers this week. It'll be another Afterlife with Archie. All right, guys, so this is a Grim Lord, and thank you guys for being a part of this one. If you liked it, you know, let me know, comments. Yeah, I'm a little weary. I've had some sleep troubles, you know, but that seems to be a recurring thing with me. But all right, guys, I hope you guys liked it. And if you want to donate, you can go to Patreon.com/Grimm's Dungeon of Comics. That would help. And definitely support Archie Comics. They're constantly coming out with new things. So also thank them for the Humble Bundle where they had these. I wanted to do them a little sooner, but we wanted to wait till, you know, October, Halloween. So that's why we waited. But all right, guys, I'm out.